Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.
All right, welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger. Man, woo, was it an exciting time this weekend. We had a good time there. Got to watch B-ball all weekend, got to watch the fight. Everything was dropping off this weekend. So, as always, I want to hear from you what you had going this weekend. So, break me off a call, 646-929-2037. Once again, that phone number is 646-929-2037, because, of course, I want to hear from you. And, as always, if you're a little too shy to call, I understand that. You can always reach me, dick@smoothdrama.com. Something you want to talk about, something you want talked about. I'm your man. I got you. Anytime, any place, anywhere. Smooth Drama. We don't edit nothing. We are ready to talk about any and everything. Also, to keep up with us, current events, whatnot, see what's going on, you can always hit us up from your mobile device. Text the word Smooth Drama to the number 41411. Once again, to keep up with us, what we're doing, what's happening, text the word Smooth Drama to the number 41411 from your mobile device so that, of course, we can all keep up, hang out, play tag, that's it. And all that. Now, anyway, back to this weekend. Wow. For those people who were curious whether or not Mayweather had it in him, I think he erased all doubt. Right, you want to talk about breaking out the can of ass whooping. What he did to Shane, the systematic breakdown, there's not a lot of words to describe it. It was just one of those, you know what, I'm not going to KO you. Because a lot of people think that you KO somebody and it's like you giving them the dramatic beatdown. Not necessarily the truth. When you break a guy down continuously, I'm not going to stop. From round 1 to round 12, you know, that is a decided ass-whooping. And Saturday night was a decided ass-whooping. You know, everybody had the questions, could Mayweather take a punch? Can Mayweather stand against a guy just as quick as him? You know, can he fight a full-fledged welterweight? Well, that was a full-fledged welterweight. That was the number 3 pound-for-pound entrant. You know, that mythical pound-for-pound, what guys are the best, wiped his ass with him. If you got any other questions, it's all out the window now. Now, of course, revisionist history, there will be some people who will say, well, you know what? Shane Mosley was old. Shane Mosley was washed up. He was past his prime. And I'll just quite frankly say, bullshit. Shane Mosley was not old. Shane Mosley was not past his prime. Shane Mosley was a guy who came to win. Shane Mosley was the same guy, and that was that Shane Mosley who fought against Antonio Margarito, the guy that nobody wanted to fight, and knocked him out cold. So, not old. Don't blame the ring rust. He came in there. He was in great shape. He didn't leave it in the gym. He just fought against the guy that was on another level. Now, I know, of course, everybody doesn't like Mayweather. He's cocky. Yeah, we can maybe come to an agreement that he shouldn't say some of the stuff that he says. But, you know, for the most part, he's selling the fight, which he did very well. The numbers haven't come out, but it's expected that it's a million plus, maybe even close to 2 million, that they speculate. So, man is doing something right. And as we saw Saturday night, when he comes to fight, I don't know. Now, of course, the elephant in the room, the Manny Pacquiao question is still out there. Manny Pacquiao supposedly has softened his stance on the drug testing, the not necessarily random because he says 14 days out. That way he's not weak because Mayweather's bigger than him. And, like, come on, man. And, you know, all these excuses, he's bigger than me. No, man, you've been walking around at 140-some pounds for a while now. You are not a little man. I mean, as compared to the boxers in that division, all of y'all are like 5'6", 5'8", 5'9". There's only like one anomaly, which would have been Paul Williams, who was 6'2", but he's vacated the division already. So, no more excuses. Random blood testing. Take the test. It's a $50 million test. No more talk. Let's get this fight going, because I know everybody else feels the same way that I do. We just need to make this happen. No more, I don't want to hear about you going to fight this guy. No. Pacquiao, Mayweather. So everybody who's on each side can start to holler, scream, speculate, line up where they're going to be to watch the fight. Get it on, period. Now, speaking of getting it on, I don't know if a lot of y'all pay attention to the news, whatnot. There was back April 20th, there was that oil spill that's ruining the region, that Gulf oil spill up. And It's gotten to the point where there's so much oil that you can't fish. They're starting to ruin the environment. You know, as it stands, there's an estimated 2.6 million gallons of oil, which is about 60,000 barrels, which is spilled into the Gulf of Mexico, which they say formed a slick that's the size of the state of Delaware. And at the current rate, they're saying that the oil is gushing out at a rate of at least 5,000 barrels a day. Now, imagine that. An oil slick so huge, it's the size of a state in the Union. Now, albeit that it's not a state that's huge, but still, it's a state in the Union, and that's a lot of oil. So right now, they're talking about doing some unprecedented engineering feat where they're going to drop a 40-foot tall, 100-ton box that they're putting together where they're going to drop it on top of where the leaking underwater pipe is. And I guess it's supposed to lock itself into the seabed, and then the oil will go into that chamber. And then it's going to be about siphoning the oil out of the water and, you know, I guess trying to save what oil that they have left coming out of there. And the thing is, this is something that hasn't been tried before in deep water. They've done it in shallow water before, but never in deep water. So I'm going to make an unoptimistic guess that it's not going to be a success. And on top of it, it's not even ready to go. It's something that won't be ready to the end of the week. So if we're talking 2-3 days from now, we're talking about 5,000, 10,000, 15,000 more barrels of oil. And by the time they get to it, what we'll be talking about, something the size of the state of New York. By the time they get to it, for this hopeful gambit to come off. Now, all that impossibilities aside, we're talking about nobody is even explaining how the shit happened in the first place. Nobody can say, okay, how did the explosion come off? They're just saying, well, there was an explosion, but there's no real explanation on the explosion. There's no real explanation why there weren't any relief efforts to bring this, you know, catastrophe, no prevention. It's just kind of crazy. Oh, we have a call.
No catastrophe, no prevention.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, I just wanted to comment about the oil spill. I think it's interesting that they can say the rate at which the oil is spilling out. And like you said, this has been going on for a while, yet I don't see them working that fast to correct the situation. I saw on the internet where they're saying how this oil spill is going to affect our, basically the cost that we're paying for seafood. But also if you look at the people in the Gulf area, how this is their livelihood, one man said that, as it stands now, he'll lose at least $30,000 because of this.
Right. Yeah, that's the other part. It's already in an area, a region, that is not full of money. You know, it's not a rich region. And obviously, if there's an area the size of the state of Delaware, reportedly, that's an unfishable area. That's an area where it's untenable. They're already talking about turtles and other fish are washing up ashore dead. So, I mean, we may be looking at, because most people is looking at what the damage could be. The Exxon Valdez damage in Alaska pales in comparison to this. And Alaska is still messed up. And we're talking 16, 17, 18 years later.
Mm-hmm.
So this one, the ecological damage, could be unprecedented.
And even, I mean, like you said, the ecological damage, because not all of the wildlife, granted a lot will die, but the ones that survive, think of how their biological makeup will change, the defects and whatnot.
Right. So. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's that whole, as we learned, in elementary school, that whole web, the food chain. You know, this affects the whole food chain. And as we said, the economy, which is not strong as it is, just gets worse. This is not a good thing. And this is the number one story. I mean, of that in the unfortunate tragedy down in Nashville, Tennessee area, where all those people have been flooded out, you know,
right,
in a mini Katrina type deal. These are the important stories, not some of the stuff that's still getting talked about out there.
Right, because, I mean, people have been saying for a while that these are the end times. I mean, like, if you look at what's going on in Haiti and then the oil and, of course, all the people that died in Tennessee and are displaced because of the floods and whatnot. I mean, even on NPR this morning, National Public Radio this morning, I heard where this old couple didn't even know that that they were in danger. A neighbor came and took them somewhere else, and they survived. But what they realized is that their home is gone. They have nothing else to go to. But one thing that was sad, too, was an elderly couple were swept up on their way to church. So, I mean, that was it. That was it. They're found, in the waters, dead in the water later. So, and that's just, you know, a couple of stories, but we know there are hundreds more out there. So,
right. Yeah, and that's the thing. The other part on this is, you know, we talk about the economic, then we got to talk about the human part and how do these people who are displaced, how are they accommodated? You know, as we know, our last major flood, the whole Katrina issue, it took them a week to find Louisiana on the map, hopefully. And I think this administration, they actually know where Tennessee is, and the appropriate help will get there sooner than what the last administration helped. You know, they'll know where Tennessee is at the least. But then we talk about how do we rebuild? You know, are the insurance companies going to get the money out so that people can rebuild their lives? Because the whole, we're going to set up tents and all this, no. That can't happen.
Right, because what I've seen with all of these major catastrophes is that the insurance companies have been trying to find their way out of paying. I mean, you pay your premiums all this time, all these times, and they look for some loophole, or they tie your money up. Or just
right,
like when people lost their homes, people still wanted payments, but, you know, they didn't have a home to, you know, the payment was required, yes, but they didn't have a home, and they didn't have a job, they're displaced, and, you know, so some of the companies were willing to work with the people, and others are just like, you know, we still want our money. So
yeah, which is hilarious, you know, in a sad way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's crazy because right now everyone, well, I don't even know what the percentage would be. Not everyone, but a large percentage of people are already tapped as far as cutbacks with inflation for those that still have jobs, wages not keeping up with inflation, and then you want to take care of yourself and your family, but you also want to help others in need. So it's just kind of interesting. Good topics.
Well, yeah, that's one of those issues where people are talking about illegal immigration, which we'll get into a little bit later on, and all these other issues, the health care, whatnot. But when we talk about national disasters, and how we're quick to throw aid everywhere else. When you look at it, like, we're taxpayers here, how quick are we rebuilding our infrastructure and helping, you know, U.S. citizens who pay their taxes, have done their due diligence, but they still aren't treated like they're American citizens. And that is definitely one of the topics we want to address, you know, because there are a lot of issues coming up here in between then. And thank you, caller, for your call.
Okay. Good night.
All right. Now, in between then, I'm still mourning, in mourning. My man, Guru, Gangstar, I know it's been a couple of weeks now, but I'm still missing Guru. I'm sad that he's gone. And so we go on a station identification break. We're going to play another tribute song to my man Guru from Gangstar. This is Gangstar's Moment of Truth.
No matter what we face, we must face the moment of truth, baby.
They say it's lonely at the top in whatever you do. You always gotta watch motherfuckers around you. Nobody's invincible, no plan is foolproof. We all must meet our moment of truth. The same shiesty cats that you hang with and do your thing with could set you up and wet you up. Nigga, peep the language, it's universal. You play with fire, it may hurt you or burn you. Lessons of lessons you should learn through, let's face facts. Although MCs lay tracks, it doesn't mean behind the scenes there ain't no dirt to trace back. That goes for all of us, there ain't nobody to trust. It's like sabotage, it's got me ready to bust, but I can't jeopardize what I've done up to this point, so I'ma get more guys to help me run the whole joint. Cultivate, multiply, motivate, or else we'll die. You know I'll be the master of the who, what, where, and why. See, when you're shining, some chumps will wanna dull ya. Always selfish, jealous punks will wanna pull ya down, just like some shellfish in a bucket, cause they love it to see your ass squirm like a worm. But just as you receive what is coming to you, everybody else is gonna get this too. I ain't no saint, therefore I cannot dispute that everyone must meet their moment of truth. Actions have reactions, don't be quick to judge. You may not know the hardships people don't speak of. It's best to step back and observe with coolth, for we all must meet our moment of truth. Sometimes you gotta dig deep. When problems come near, don't fear. Things get severe for everybody, everywhere. Why do bad things happen to good people? Seems that life is just a constant war between good and evil. The situation that I'm facing is mad amazing. To think such problems can arise from minor confrontations. Now I'm contemplating in my bedroom pacing. Dark clouds over my head, my heart's racing. Suicide? Nah, I'm not a foolish guy. Don't even feel like drinking or even getting high, cause all that's gonna do really is accelerate the anxieties that I wish I could alleviate. But wait, I've been through a whole lot of other shit before, so I ought to be able to withstand some more. But I'm sweating though, my eyes are turning red, and yo, I'm ready to lose my mind, but instead I use my mind. I put down the knife and take the bullets out my nine. My only crime was that I'm too damn kind, and now some scandalous motherfuckers wanna take what's mine. But they can't take the respect that I've earned in my lifetime, and you know they'll never stop the furious force of my rhymes. So like they say, every dog has a day, and like they say, God works in a mysterious way. So I pray, remembering the days of my youth, as I prepare to meet my moment of truth. Truth. Yo, I got one lyric pointed at your head to start. Another one is pointed at your weak-ass heart. Now if I pull the trigger on these fully loaded lines, you're gonna wish I would've pulled a black nine. I'm Mac Dimes, crack the spines of the fake gangsters. Yeah, the biting, trifling niggas and the studio pranksters. Yo, looking at the situation plainly, will you remain G, or will you be looked upon strangely? I reign as the articulator with the greater data, revolving on a task and much doper than my last jam. While others struggle to juggle tricky metaphors, I explore more to expose the core. A lot of MCs act stupid to me, and we have yet to see if they can match our longevity. But anyway, it's just another day, another fake jack I slay with my spectacular rap display. Style smooth but rugged, you can't push or shove it. You dig it and you dug it, cause like money you love it. The king of monotone with my own throne, righteously violent prone. My words bring winds like cyclones, storming your hideout, blocking out your sunlight. Your image and your business were truly not done right. Throw up your Hiala now, divine saviors. You got no hand skills, there's no security to save you. No Beja, no Selly, no drop top Benzie. I came to bring your phony hip hop to an end. My art of war will leave you sore from the abuse, cause you must meet your moment of truth. They say it's lonely at the top, and whatever you do, you always gotta watch motherfuckers around you. No one is untouchable, no man is bulletproof. We all must meet our moment of truth. Truth.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger. As always, I want to hear from you. So if you like what you hear, you got something that you want to address as far as issues, whatnot, or you want to speak on what I'm speaking on, you can give me a call at 646-929-2037. Once again, you can call me at 646-929-2037. Now, I like trying to find things that are different, but I like to be educational. A while back, last year to be exact, we did a show. I talked about there's a few festivals. There's like four or five festivals in North America, in the North American region that we know of for sure. There's like two or three in California, one in Montana, and one in I believe in the Georgia area where people eat bull testicles. You know, it's a delicacy where they boil them, take the hair off of them, marinate them, barbecue them, cook them, whatnot. Well, you know, I just thought, wow, people eat testicles. You know, I just thought that was something for the movie. Whatever, but come to find out that no, it is real. And then I tried to figure out why. You know, I don't like to leave it hanging. So I found out the reason why people take bull testicles. Well, like bull testicles. I don't know necessarily that I would be eating bull testicles or any testicles for that matter. But in bull testicles, bull sperm testicles, you know, in that area, it contained an ingredient called taurine. Taurine is a form of bile that's found in bile, B-I-L-E, is found in the lower intestine, which is in, you know, in or near the bull's testicles. It's also an amino acid, which is actually naturally made by the body. And if you eat a healthy diet, you your body will make it for you. Now, the thing is, there's a danger to bull testicles. I mean, not bull testicles. Let me get off that. The dangers of taurine. You know, taurine is one of the ingredients that's commonly found in energy drinks. And, you know, some of them, as you know, Red Bull, Rockstar, and countless other energy, as you know, they're energy drinks are a dime a dozen now. Well, taurine, and the taurine that's used in these drinks from Red Bull and Rockstar is not actually taurine from, like, real bull testicles. It's synthetic. You know, now, studies have shown that synthetic taurine has caused illnesses ranging from high blood pressure to strokes, seizures, and heart disease. And as for these reasons, it's been banned in a few Scandinavian countries like Switzerland after being linked to a few deaths. And that's because taurine is utilized by the body during exercise and in times of stress. It's become a popular ingredient. But taurine, according to studies, has a stimulating effect on the central nervous system that's unnatural. Now, some people will ask the question, pose the question, is taurine, you know, an upper or a downer? And then there's some more new research that came out that said that taurine actually affects some of the functions of the brain. It shows that taurine has some neurological activity. Well, it's not what you say a stimulant. It actually is not a pick me up. You know, according to some new research, the taurine has that effect where it sort of sedates you, you know, and the scientists are speculating, and this is, for those listening, this is speculation, that when you take the Red Bull, your Rock Stars, and your Monsters, whatnot, and you have that crash, the speculation is the crash is from the taurine, which actually puts you to sleep or sedates you or, you know, takes you down some. So it's very, very important in that people, especially because there are a lot of nightclubs, whatnot, you know, youngsters who go out and drink, they mix it with the alcohol. And according to scientists, the daily dose of taurine should be in between 100 to 500 milligrams. And in comparison, one can of your typical energy drink has 1,000 milligrams of that. So when you look at some people who drink it, you know, college students, whatnot, are drinking 2, 3, 4 cans a day, or you're also in the club and you're mixing it with your drink, whatnot, you're 2, 3, 4 times over the limit. And, you know,
yes, sir. Listen here, man. It's your boy, Cam Wee. I'm just acting a fool.
It's like smooth drama.
Yes, sir.
It's like smooth drama.
Yes, sir.
It's smooth drama.
Yes, sir.
It's smooth drama.
Yes, sir. Listen here, man. It's your boy, Cam Wee. I'm just acting a fool. With my man, DH. Y'all know him as. And Butter Butter Pecan. Yes, sir. Chosen.
All right. Welcome back to Smooth Drama. Sorry for the confusion. Yeah. A little technical difficulty beyond our control, but we are back now. Now, I'm big on constitutional issues. You know, a lot of people take their rights for granted, which you shouldn't, but I'm going to talk about it nonetheless. Now, one of the issues coming up is Richmond police in Richmond, California area, parolees are being forced to wear GPS devices. You know, I guess Richmond, California is a so-called violent area. Not that the United States don't have a whole lot of those areas, but there's a program where, and I guess it started this Monday, they fitted 20 parolees with GPS tracking devices after they came to see their parole agent. And I guess the device has a paging system on it, and they say if you feel it vibrate for 10 seconds, push the button on the device and call your parole officer on their cell phone. And what they're saying is this is good for the community because they'll be able to track supposed gang members and to keep them away from situations where violence will come. So supposedly, this is what they say. But they asked one of the parolees, 29-year-old Gregory Tolbert, who, for obvious reasons, was not happy with it. He's like, I feel like I'm being violated on my civil rights or something, man. He said correctly that he served his time for drug possession and firearms offenses. I'm supposed to be free. I already did my time. And, yes, within hours of being tagged, police arrested Mr. Tolbert for gun possession. Now, in these situations, obviously, we know that they're criminals and whatnot. You know, they have a criminal record. But as we've been made to understand about the criminal justice system, once you've done your time, you're supposed to be free. Period. Point blank. You know, you go through parole, you report to your officer, whatnot, and, you know, you live your life trying to integrate yourself back into society. Now, my question to people out there is, what do y'all think of this, where all of a sudden I'm not free. I'm shackled with device, but I am out of jail. This isn't like a work release. We're talking about you're out. All right. Well, caller, you're on the air.
Usually when someone is on parole, it means because they did not complete their entire prison sentence. So, in a sense, and that's why they meet with the parole officer for X amount of time. So,
right.
When that person was saying, I served my time, I should be free, then if he would have completed all of his time in prison, then yeah. He would be free without the GPS. But since he didn't, that's why he had it, and rightfully so. To me, it seems, in this case, it seems justified in that he was found with the firearms. I mean, he knows what his conditions of parole were, and he chose to continue to engage in illegal activity. So, I don't feel
yeah.
No love lost.
Well, no, I understand that, but are we saying that now everyone on parole has to wear a device?
No, I think it would be for certain people because California is already broke. If you look at all the people that are on parole, there's no way they could afford to have everyone with electronic surveillance, and not just looking at being able to afford it, but who's going to monitor all that?
Well, one, that's what we're talking about, because we'll be talking about overtime, first and foremost, and budgeting for the watchers. And then, reportedly, these devices are $1,500 apiece, and they've already passed out 20 of them. And we don't know how many they have, where the budget on this, who's paying for this. This is one of those situations where, one, it wasn't something that the public got to vote on, and this is where I come back to the whole constitutional issue. You know, I say a constitutional issue. If this was something that the public, the American people as a whole, had a chance to vote on and say, according to our democratic right as a voting individual, say, okay, parolees should have these devices, and we as taxpayers are willing to pay for it, then I'm cool. But I never got that phone call. I never saw that ballot initiative. Didn't get the email, nothing.
Well, you know what? It doesn't always work out that well when you turn things over to the American voters. Like if you look at Prop 36, the taxpayer American voters, as you say, voted for that, and that's just been hell. I mean, all these people getting chance after chance. I don't know if you're familiar with Prop 36, the drug program they're saying, where instead of sending these drug abusers to jail, they will be given up so many opportunities for treatment. I mean, that was turned over to voters, and that's cost the state a lot of money, a lot more than what we're looking at with the GPS. But even so, all the money for parolees is not coming from the taxpayer, not all of it. A good portion of it does, but not all. And then in addition, with these new laws that are coming out that different people are pressing for, specifically Chelsea King's family, and then also people in looking at the Garrido case, different people, not just in the county, but in the state, are emotional behind these sex crimes. So you're talking about GPS for someone with weapons, but a lot of people right now are pushing for GPS with sex offenders as well, and I think that would be well over 15 for any given area.
Right, and so what we're saying, though, is you made the distinction that the Prop 36 was something that was voted for. Now, whether or not it worked or not, you know, hey, that's, you voted for it, so you get what you voted for. You know, I mean, we can go back and forth on whether or not it was right or not. You know, because, of course, there'll be some people who say, yeah, it worked, and then there'll be some people that's like, no, it's not working. But it was voted on. You see, and this is my thing. We absolutely do pay for it, which is my issue. We pay for it, but we don't have a say in it. It's sort of like, you know, people with the health care debate, but the Medicare, I pay for it, but I myself cannot use it. I think that's unconstitutional. I think, you know, when you say taxation without representation, this falls underneath that law, that saying that, hey, if I'm going to be taxed for it, I should have a say in it. And that's all we're talking about, a say. You know, if you don't have a say in it, it's basically, look, you know, I got you. I'm doing you wrong, and there's nothing you can do about it. I can institute things, and there's nothing you can do about it. And that's where we're at. I mean, you know, we move on to the Arizona illegal alien. Just crazy.
Okay, and I'll make room for another caller. Peace.
All right. Thank you for your call. Now, the issue is we have over in Arizona the whole bill where they're talking about, you know, illegals having to prove that they're legal. Okay. And I'm thinking that we already have that law on the books already. We already have the government enforcing it. But, of course, Arizona was saying the government, and there are people all along the border from California to Texas who are saying, no, the government does not do enough. Okay. Then we take it to the next level. As here in Southern California area, we know that Cinco de Mayo is coming up, you know, Mexican Independence Day. There's a group in Arizona, the National Socialist Movement, who some people consider to be a neo-Nazi hate group, who are passing out flyers for an event to coincide with Cinco de Mayo. As according to the flyer, they're calling May 5th Report an Illegal Day. The flyer calls on people to fax or email Congress and demand that the border be secured. It also wants people to ask local businesses to participate in E-Verify and to turn in people to the government, the DHS and ICE. And they're trying to do it on Cinco de Mayo. And that's the thing. When we start talking about these laws, one that we already have on the books, it's about enforcing it. So when you bring these topics up, and yeah, we know it's an issue. I mean, you know, people talk about illegals coming in and taking jobs, whatnot. But the issue is not the illegal taking the job. The issue is, and this is the point that people gloss over and forget, and that's where the problem is. Nobody wants to take these employers to task because it's business, big business. Who is the problem? I say that if you want to clean up the illegal aliens taking the jobs, whatnot, do this. Go ahead and institute a fine. $100,000 for every illegal alien that you hire. See, because it's about businesses trying to not pay a fair wage, period, because they're not paying them a fair wage. That's the issue. I guarantee you. If businesses don't hire them and they're forced to hire the American people who want these jobs and people are out there fighting and screaming about, the people won't be coming over here trying to get the jobs if they can't get hired for them. I mean, does that not make sense to anybody? It makes sense to me. think it should be. I mean, some people may think I say, oh, $100,000. No, $100,000 for everyone that you have that you've hired illegal. I guarantee you, on the small level especially, you will clean that shit up. And then we'll see if we can get some people who want to cut grass and pick your tomatoes and strawberries, whatnot. That's what it's about. Who wants to be a dishwasher? Not who wants to be a millionaire. Who wants to be a dishwasher? And we'll see. Because those are the jobs. Now, obviously, they're talking about the burden of the system as far as health care and whatnot also. But once again, as I say, you find those people and you be very, very strict on those people who are doing the illegal hiring, and you'll clean it all up. That, I can guarantee you. In the meanwhile, you know, you hating people over in Arizona who, I mean, you know, going through all this tell on an illegal day. Really? Is it really about that? In between there, on a lighter note, the funniest thing that I saw last night, I don't know if anybody saw it, that the 17-year-old Philly fan at the game, Philadelphia was playing against the St. Louis Cardinals. And during the eighth inning, a young man jumped the fence and ran through the outfield and waving his white towel. And, you know, he passed up a couple of security guards before making on the grass. And unfortunately, there was a stun gun, a taser, and he was shocked and he hit the ground face first. And if y'all don't know what I'm talking about, you can go and check it out on YouTube. It is one of the funniest things that you can ever see. And there's a picture where they show the guy, you know, shooting the officer shooting the taser at the kid and knocking his ass out. And because he's a juvenile, they can't release his name, or, of course, you know, I would say it because you, my dear sir, are dumb ass. But I'm going to guarantee you, after being shocked to all hell and falling face first on national TV, and I'm sure that his homies saw him and knew, he's not going to do it again. I just got a sneaking suspicion that it's not going to happen. So, Mr. Nameless, you are definitely the dumbass of the day. And if all people who are looking to jump onto the field and interrupt the games, whatnot, hey, let that be a lesson to you. It's not for you. Now, I want to be real quick. There's a little, to end standing on my soapbox here, there's a thing about Sandra Bullock and her adoption of a black baby, and there's some so-called debate, whatnot. They're saying that she's doing it because she's trying to repair her image and you know, oh, why is she adopting a black baby as opposed to a white baby? And, you know, is she trying to do this because her husband has taken the shine away from her because of his infidelities? And I say to y'all, first and foremost, fuck y'all. Look, I don't care who wants to adopt a baby, and you shouldn't either, unless you was fighting to adopt that baby. You shouldn't say shit. Children need a home, and if somebody wants a child, who the fuck are you to sit up here and criticize somebody because, oh, they adopted a child? I mean, so you're saying that if a black person adopted a white baby, that, oh, there's something wrong with them? You know, they adopted a baby. What the fuck? You know, I can't believe that people are making this a big deal. Like the whole Madonna, look, they adopted children. Y'all not adopting them. They can afford to adopt them. They can afford to give them a loving home. Just shut the fuck up and be happy somebody wants to take care of the kids. Your ass ain't. You ain't adopting them unless somebody pays you. This is somebody who can afford it. You hear me? This is somebody who can afford it and won't get paid for it. They're just going to take care of and love a child and hopefully give the child all the love that it needs to become a productive citizen. That's what it's all about. So for me, two fucking thumbs up for Sandra Bullock. I'm sorry. If you hating on her because she adopted a black baby, what the fuck is wrong with you? Adopting a baby is adopting a baby. Period, point blank. It's about spreading love and not this other shit that y'all talking about. And with that, Dick Hugger, I'm out. Thank you for listening to Smooth Drama. And, of course, I will holler at you later on. Same bat time, same bat place. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.